This one is for my readers. Are you tired of endlessly searching for your next great read? Well, let me tell you about Book of the Month, where the thrill of discovery meets the joy of reading. Sounds fun, right? Okay, so what I adore about the Book of the Month is their meticulous curation process. With just a handful of carefully chosen titles each month, they've mastered the art of making your next read an easy decision. If you're tired of making decisions, let's make it easy. And let's not forget about the fun factor. Every aspect of their service is designed to celebrate the love of reading and make it even more enjoyable for members like us, down to the cute blue box the books are delivered in. Now let me tell you about the April pick. I've tapped into The Husband's a Novel by Holly Gramazio. And let me tell you, it's a pretty interesting read. It gets into the complexities of marriage and identity, and it's set against a backdrop of mystery and suspense. It has a pretty intriguing plot twist, and there's some character development that's pretty good too. So I think you might enjoy it. Pick it up if it interests you. And if you're ready to embark on your next literary journey, head over to bookofthemonth.com. And guess what? They're offering our listeners a special deal. You can use code PASTEL at checkout to get your first book for just $5 this month only. That's code PASTEL at bookofthemonth.com to get your first book for $5 with free shipping always. Come on, my readers. Don't miss out on the chance to discover your next favorite read with Book of the Month. Happy reading. Y'all should know by now that we love progression over here. Let's chat about what everyday progress truly means to us. Whether it's hitting those small milestones or treating ourselves to a little something-something after a month of disciplined budgeting, progress is all about balance and staying motivated. And speaking of budgeting and reaching financial goals while still enjoying life's little pleasures, have you heard about Chime? Chime's checking account offers some amazing features that can help you along your financial journey. Let me tell you about one feature that really stands out to me. Chime's Spot Me. We've all been there, right? Dealing with overdraft fees can really throw a wrench in your financial plans. But with Chime, you can overdraft up to $200 with no fees. You heard me right. No fees. It's like having a safety net for those unexpected moments. Y'all, I had a friend who was always getting hit with hefty overdraft fees. It was a mess trying to sort it out. How do you really get ahead with that? But with Chime, you can avoid those headaches and get back on track with ease. Plus, Chime isn't just a bank, it's a community. With Boost, you can increase your Spot Me limit by receiving Boost from your friends. It's like having your financial back covered by your squad. So, if you're ready to take control of your finances and wave goodbye to those pesky monthly fees, open your Chime account today. Just head over to chime.com/bravado. That's chime.com/bravado. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot Me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in Spot Me and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
This is Germany.
And this is Brittany.
And this is the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
A motivating and encouraging podcast where we focus on building community amongst colorful women alike.
Join us weekly as we sit down and have candid conversations on various topics and issues surrounding self-care, self-love, health and wellness, spirituality, entrepreneurship, and much more.
And trust, if we don't have the answers, we'll call on our expert homegirls who do.
Our goal is to create a safe space for growth, inspiration, laughter, and love, free of judgment, in hopes that after you listen, you're a little more knowledgeable or at least a little more entertained than before.
It's homegirl vibes here. Real, raw, and a little funny.
A lot of fucking funny.
So thanks for tuning in to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey y'all, welcome.
Welcome back, sweet potato spice. I flipped it instead of pumpkin spice.
Yes, you know, because we sweet potato pie over here. You're over here, sweet potato. Y'all can keep that pumpkin.
Yeah, sweet potato spice. Happy fall. The weather's getting colder, finally.
It's getting darker earlier. I've had to whip out my heater, my tube socks, and my sweater. Christmas fleece pajamas. I'm like, she needs to be kept warm.
Yeah,
say, over here.
I be turning my heater on. I'm like,
turn on the heater. Close.
No Gucci.
So I saw today people was like, don't get caught up. It's getting cold. Don't be sending no text messages. Don't be calling no niggas just because you're cold. Get a heater. Get a heater and a weighted blanket.
Yeah.
The so kit and caboodle. Good. The not fuck yourself kit.
Yeah. The not don't get fucked kit.
Oh, gosh. So how's it going?
How's your weekend?
It's going weekend. Good. Wow. She had a good weekend.
The weekend was great. I'm going to say the weekend was great.
She had a good weekend.
She did.
Friday. Did I do something on Friday?
Did we go somewhere?
I don't think so.
No?
No. No. Oh. No. Nothing on Friday. Friday was chill.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I had started watching Love Jones on Friday because that aired on Netflix, but I didn't finish it. I fell asleep like a grandma. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday. That's where the fun started. Mm-hmm. So Saturday, we had our little business meeting.
Yeah.
At Sip and Sonder.
Love it there.
Then we went to Lowell Cafe.
Lowell's Cafe.
Which is the first cannabis cafe in the United States.
Yes.
Basically, you pull up there.
You eat. You smoke. You have a great time.
Yes.
And you roll out. Yeah, it was a great experience.
It was a good experience. The weed was potent. The food was good.
Everything was great. Good music. The music was great.
The music was awesome.
It was great.
It was a good vibe in there.
Cute little place.
We lucked up because we didn't have reservations, which are highly recommended, but we were able to pull up and get seated fairly quickly. God was on our side.
Like he always is.
Normally, the wait is like 30 minutes to an hour and a half, so we got the 30-minute end.
Even probably less than that, because I went to the restroom, came back where you already seated.
Yeah.
So it was pretty fast, but yeah, that was a fun experience.
That was really fun. Then Sunday.
Wow. Now here's the kicker. Here is the kicker, y'all. We went to church on Sunday, pulled up at our regular church, our church home, and it was packed.
It was packed.
We tried to like park and we're like, okay, something's hitting
something's
different.
Something's happening in the house of the Lord.
Because it's normally not like this packed.
It's not to the brim.
We get in there. We're seated. Our praise and worship team is tearing the house down.
Down. You can tell when people are showing up and showing out. Yeah. I'm like, the praise and worship team is good.
Yeah. But today
it was good.
Yeah, today it's good. And I'm like,
I'm like, are we getting an award? What's going on?
Yeah. Is the city in here recording? What the fuck going on?
Yeah.
And then
it happened. So.
And then it happened.
We're sitting in our respective seats, you know. We already be turned up for the praise and worship. That's nothing.
Yeah, period.
I love that. I don't like to be late because I don't like to miss any of the selections.
Lady Maya was cutting up. She said, he always keeps his word. I said, okay, she's ad-libbing. I'm like, she's like.
Anytime she wears that pink pump, I'm like, oh, baby came to show up.
Yeah, something's happening when the pink pump is on.
So,
the hot pink pump.
You know, I look up to the stage.
Yeah, you did. No, they brought out the organ.
The organist.
The organ. And we're like, we don't usually have an organist.
We don't usually have
church.
That. And usually, you know, the musicians who start are the musicians who finish. So yeah. I'm like, why is there being a swap out of musicians?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Because we have some state-of-the-art musicians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I see the T.
Yeah, you did.
I see it, the T that says Trust God, the Kanye West merch. I said, it's Sunday service.
No, at first you were like, he has on the Kanye
we
West.
It's going to be Sunday service.
I said, so? Then I see all the people getting up. I'm like, oh, yeah, Brittany, it's Sunday service.
People,
here they are.
People started coming from their seats down to the stage.
Yeah, we're like, oh, what the fuck going on?
Like, you know, it was kind of cinematic. Wouldn't you agree?
It was.
It was a little cinematic. So, you know,
we like what's going on. Because mind your sidebar. Our church didn't know that this was happening. No one knew that they
Nobody
were showing
knew.
Up.
It was a surprise.
It was kind of cool.
It was unannounced.
Because the church, the actual church members got to enjoy it without there being an influx of like external people who might have just would have shown up for Sunday service had they just known Kanye's going to be in the LBC. But yeah. Once they got up and started flooding down to the bottom doing the huddle thing that they do.
Right. They started forming their huddle. Germany shaking.
I'm like, oh. What a treat.
I'm looking around. trying to figure out what's going on. And I'm like, okay, is Kanye sending his choir?
His disciples.
Around to, you know, the local churches? Because I'm like, I don't think Kanye here.
Mm-mm. And at first I thought it was just the choir too, because the choir director said, we just want to sing a couple songs for y'all. We some people who love God just like y'all. I'm like, okay, we all love the Lord.
What he said, yes.
I'm like, okay, we all here together. Fine, let's go.
And the funny thing is, just last week on last week's episode, I was saying how I would love to go to Sunday service. We were talking about the Jesus is King album, and I was like, I need to be at a Sunday service because it looked like it was jumping.
Yeah. And then Sunday service showed up at our Sunday service.
Sunday service came to me.
Yeah. That, how beautiful. So then I look up, Kanye and North are on the stage. I'm like, look at North singing all the words. North is a beauty. She's a cute little girl. She really was singing all those words. She was like, hallelujah. I'm like, okay, North. North had all those words down pat. She did.
But no joke, all jokes aside, that choir is something.
Talented group of people.
The choir director. Okay.
The choir director.
Come to find out, he was a former choir director of West Angeles.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So he's deeply rooted.
He is. He knows what the fuck going on.
But, yeah, it was a great experience.
It was so nice.
A great unexpected experience. A surprise. I can say that I was definitely moved. The choir definitely is gifted. It didn't seem disingenuous. It seemed like the real
like people
deal.
Who
like
were
the
singing.
Holy Spirit was present.
Yeah.
And I think that if you have the opportunity to go to Sunday service, that you should definitely go.
You know what I was thinking today after I decided to, actually this morning, replay the Jesus is King?
Uh-huh.
I think what I was confusing Kanye with the Sunday service, because the Sunday service is the choir. I think that's what people don't understand. So when they got the Kanye album, the Jesus is King, they were expecting the Sunday service experience. Because the intro song has the choir on it. So I think if you just take the body of work for like, it's Kanye, not Sunday service, and you're not going to be looking for that whole, that cinematic energy.
The moving experience, yeah.
You're not going to be expecting that. And you can accept it as like, oh, it's a Kanye album versus I'm looking for Sunday service vibes.
We were looking for God's property vibes.
We were looking? Yes.
For the God's property.
We were looking.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, Kanye's doing a thing. He's moving the kingdom forward, advancing the kingdom.
Yeah.
I'm sure 20 years ago, they looked at Kirk Franklin and said, it's too much.
You think so?
Yes. People were shunning Kirk Franklin. Stump having that whole
group.
And
he does that Crush on You rendition.
And the melodies from
okay, but that was keeping it fairly, you know, in alignment with the traditional principles.
Okay, but Stomp
definitely
wasn't.
Once you start doing the sampling and the
fusing.
Coming from the
fusing. Well, Stomp
the secular
wasn't.
Life into the transition, but
Stomp wasn't.
Well, people weren't saying anything about Snoop Dogg when he did his gospel album.
I don't think they took
it
seriously.
I think the problem with Kanye is his other views, the opposing views that make people be like, now shut the fuck up.
Yeah, this is
shut
true.
Shut the fuck up.
This is true.
If you would have just came out with your gospel transition.
Then we would have probably been able to accept.
Be more receptive, but it's because of the other things that he says when people are like the complete write-off.
Yeah.
But
you're either all out or you're all in. It's kind of hard to be both.
Well, it's not hard if you think about being Christ-like.
Yeah. Told me it in Christ-like. Told me in my daddy. I said, ah!
So yeah, that was a good Sunday.
It was. We had some great lunch, great dessert. It was a day. I said, wow, Lord.
What a good day.
You blessed us.
I had
you
such
smiled
a good day.
Down
I
on
had
your
such
daughters.
A good day. My dramatic ass was gonna say, I'm at a good point in my life right now. I'm at a good space in my life. If you guys know, I had been dragged, although I have been starting to rise.
Yeah.
But I
a
was
phoenix.
Like, yeah, the phoenix. From I the feel ashes. My wings flapping. My wings have been, I've dusted the ashes off my wings and they're starting to get a little bit of mobility.
Yeah, a little air under them.
A little. And I was like, you know what? I'm at a good point in my life.
When I laid down, I started to play my small violin like, damn, I got to go to work tomorrow. And then I said, no, you had a great day today. You can go into work tomorrow because you can go to sleep knowing today was a good day. Cue the ice cube. Okay. It was a great day.
Yes.
Got up, seen Sunday service for free. Oh my Lord. Yeah. In my house.
In your house.
In my house of the Lord.
Unexpected.
That was a blessing. She's still on cloud nine.
Today when I was listening to my high vibrational Abraham Hicks.
Yes.
Back to re-implementing that in the morning.
Yes. Brought that back around.
You know, she drops gems and jewels all throughout.
Yeah.
About standing in the vortex, manifesting and attracting and basically living in the flow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was a clear indicator of living in the flow.
Yeah.
Things that I want come to me.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to go out and buy a ticket.
No.
I said I wanted to go. I said I wanted to experience it. And what happened?
Experience.
Showed up at my front door.
Yeah. At your church door.
And
the
I'm
Lord's
like,
door.
Lord, I'm expecting that in other ways.
Yeah.
Bring it to my front door.
Yeah.
And I will answer it.
Yes.
If I have to. If I need to. If it's worth answering.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good Sunday. Good weekend.
Great weekend. I'm hoping to do it again. This weekend, I need some more to show up.
Yeah, I'm gonna be out of town this weekend,
and I won't be.
Yeah, but I'm sure you'll have a good weekend still.
Well, I work.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna do something. I'm probably going.
But you're employed,
and that's the beauty of this thing.
Period.
And I probably get involved with these niggas. Do something.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know.
And get involved.
I'm just kidding. Psych.
So anyway, new week, new tea.
Where we kiki with you and you kiki with we. What's good?
Okay, so this week in tea, YG.
400. What's good? You know, this nigga could die.
YG was
not
somewhere.
Not literally die, but y'all know.
YG was somewhere, I want to say leaving a Hollywood club or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody caught him kissing on a woman.
Yes.
And, of course, they made it to the shade room.
In the mouth. He kissing her in the mouth. He kissing her in the mouth, in the mouth, in the mouth.
Dead.
That's like going.
Anyway, I get it. So, yeah, he was kissing some mystery woman. Made it to the shade room. We already said a couple weeks ago that, you know, him and Kehlani were a thing that was becoming everybody's couple's goals. Not mine.
Definitely not mine.
But the internet had went up in flames. Like, oh yeah, okay,
Kehlani.
Yeah, Kehlani and YG, so cute, perfect for each other. And this was 5 years in the making and all that other shit. Well, you know what, YG? He posts on his story that after, you know, he got busted out, he posts on his story, I love Kehlani. I would never.
Bro,
we saw the
did.
Footages.
It happened.
We saw the footages.
It, yeah.
Don't say you would never when you did.
Yeah, it happened.
Don't say you would never when you did.
Yeah.
You were kissing that woman. It doesn't matter if he said he was drunk. And that's like, you can't handle your liquor. You too old. You a grown ass man telling me that because you were drunk, you decided to kiss someone. Publicly humiliate me.
Yeah, the public humiliation would have me done. Done, YG. Goodbye, Keenan.
You don't need to be drinking. You don't need to be drinking because that's unacceptable. I don't care if you were drunk. Don't have me out here looking stupid.
So then Kehlani.
Sick nigga. Now we got to put his lyrics on him.
Sick nigga, bitch nigga, ho nigga, cheating nigga.
Kissing nigga, drunk
yeah.
nigga.
Ugh.
Get the fuck nigga. Out my face, nigga.
Yeah, so now Kehlani done went and archived all her pictures.
So she went and archived all the photos, I guess, until further notice. And, you know, he has to work his way out of the doghouse if she allows him. I don't know what route she's taking. I don't know if she's taking the one and we're done or if she's taking the give him another chance. What would you do?
One and done. It's too fresh for me to be giving you more chances. Are you kidding me?
I agree.
The one and done.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with Cap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
too fresh. We're in our blissful state.
Yeah, honeymoon. Like
new
you
romance.
Already, you already are getting drunk and kissing on other women. When you have new fresh puss here, I'm new and fresh. You want new and fresher. Fresh as I'm is.
Yeah, like how can I trust you?
Like, damn.
You're a touring artist.
Now that.
You're on the scene.
She has to know.
And I can't trust you.
He doesn't look like he's done his work.
Trust has been. No, he did.
He doesn't look like he's done his work. That's
well,
why I wouldn't be able to trust
him. Well, when he was on the Breakfast
him.
Club, he was saying, and this is not to shame.
Yeah, he don't know about
but
therapy.
But he was just, not just knowing about therapy. You can tell that he was just not completely tapped in. And I know everybody reaches their point at a different time.
Yeah, he didn't know about anxiety and all of that.
I don't know. All I know is that was wrong. And
she was wrong.
He, yeah. Sicky. Anyway.
Sickiana.
Summer Walker. That's another person we've been talking
Summer.
About. She's going through it right now. So did you see her Tiny Desk concert?
I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched a little bit.
Okay, so.
She's gifted.
Talented.
NPR did a Tiny Desk festival.
Like, don't tell me it was in L.A.
No, like you can't pull up and wreck. Hold up. No.
Oh, they did it at their offices?
They did like multiple Tiny Desks, like back to back. So Megan Thee Stallion was on, Wale was on. It was like a week of shows, like different show. That's why I keep my little cat in their mouth. That's what what Megan said.
So anyway, Summer Walker, that's what I was saying. So the Tiny Desk, she did the Tiny Desk, and people were dragging her, like, because she seemed disengaged, pretty much. Like, she was just singing the songs and, like, looking down a lot. And they were like, why the fuck are you even there? If you don't want to be there, you didn't have to be there. Nobody held a gun up to your head.
And I think that's just her vibe.
She was like, I have social anxiety. Like, yeah. I'm excited about being here. I'm grateful. I'm honored that you guys extended the invite. But I fucking have social anxiety. Like, if she didn't have to perform, she wouldn't.
Yeah.
So people were dragging her. And she's been catching a lot of slack about other things, about not showering.
Well, she had that little, she put a little tub together and she was like, this is my bath bowl. Like, basically saying she does a little whole bath, you know, because she doesn't like to shower, she prefers to bathe. Okay. So I guess, you know, her preference, if she doesn't have a bath, she'll do the whole bath every now and then. And she had all of her little toiletries. And then she had London on the track with looked like a Noxzema face mask on.
Oh, twisting his hair.
Scratching his scalp is what it looked like. But okay. People were dragging her, like, what are you doing? Because she said, I love to tend to my man, like, keeping him cozy and comfy vibes.
And they said, what is she doing?
They were like, what the fuck is she doing? Oh, my God. They give me ratchet. I can smell the ghetto through the phone. It was like some sick shit. They're like, I can smell the ghetto through this post.
Damn. So all that is probably what led her to make a post on her Instagram. And she was like, you guys don't deserve me.
Yeah.
She was like, I knew I wasn't cut out for this when I started. Like, yeah. Basically, I'm a different type of bitch.
Yeah, she basically is too real, too.
Yeah,
real.
She was like, y'all can have this. You can, I don't want all this. I don't want to go on tours.
She said she'll wrap up this little, it's over touring and
she'll
no
be done
more.
With it. I'm like,
she was like, I'm just giving y'all the music. Don't ask for interviews.
Yeah, fuck the interviews. People, some of the celebs were rallying behind her in the comments, giving her encouragement. I saw Keisha Cole, my sis from the town. She was like, I totally feel you, but keep going. Don't let anybody stop
you. Keisha Cole was one, you know, raw. The fact that she had Frankie and Neffy on that show. Remember cutting up, showing her mom and her sister?
Oh, how could I forget?
My God. My God.
They really showed their asses on national television.
Wow. I would be
that
like,
that was
no.
The beginning. Like, they were the...
Why would you do that?
They were one of the...
The Snowfall. The crack addict. Neffy.
Germany. Now, that's
no,
wrong.
No, 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 no,
no, no, no.
No, no. No, why would you have
you
your mother on
Snowfall.
TV? No. You know what I'm talking about, though. Why would you have your mother on TV knowing she's dealt with addiction and all? It's just too much. It's too much.
I think she was, the thing with Frankie is she was going in and out. So when she was on the show, she was clean.
But she still
had the residual effects. I mean,
you know what? We ain't even got to go there.
No.
Because crack and shit hit different.
Yeah, it does. So anyway.
Yeah.
Prayers for Summer Walker. I can only imagine because.
Lifting her up.
People drag you. I can't imagine people just deciding they could come up under my page and say whatever the fuck they want. I would be like, wait a minute. This is my page.
Yeah.
This is my platform. Who do you think you are? That's
and
like somebody walking into
everybody.
Your house and just deciding to start cursing you out.
I know. Then you'd be fighting with everybody. It sucks. But I'm going to tell you one thing, everybody under the sound of my voice, don't you try it here. Don't you try it here.
Yeah, if you ever feel like you want to do it, just
leave.
Just leave. Delete me. Delete yourself.
Delete us. Just go in peace. Because you don't want that action.
That ain't right.
And we ain't going there.
We want to keep it sisterly.
That's it. So what's up? What else is good?
There's a petition going around for our brother, a brother, Rodney Reed, who
can be our brother.
Who is set to be, I was about to say terminated, to be executed.
Yeah, lethal injection.
On November 20th, I think it
November 20th is the scheduled date.
Basically, he's been maintaining his innocence for 20 years for a crime that he said he didn't commit. There's evidence that has been presented that can
exonerate him. Yeah.
And the people aren't moving. So Kim K is on this case.
He's coming home.
You think she's going to make it happen?
I think
along
so.
Along with all the other people. Who
there's
are
hella people like me and you signing the petition. Within 24 hours,
they
had
over
500, no, half a million.
Half a million, okay.
Signatures in over 24 hours. So, I mean.
We'll tweet the link for
strides.
You all to sign the petition if you haven't already, because this is not right. If someone has been maintaining their innocence for 20 years,
yeah.
He's like, if you're going to take me, take me. But I'm not admitting to do a crime that I didn't commit.
Period. And that's on period. Yeah.
This so, sick ass criminal justice system is just.
Sign the petition, y'all.
It'll be on our Twitter. What else?
I think that's it. No?
Yeah. I think that's enough.
Okay.
We got other things to talk about.
We got a lot to talk about.
We do.
Okay. So.
What we need you all to do.
Yeah. Because you girls, I don't know what the fuck was going on.
Okay, Mercury is in retrograde and we have had some issues with our episodes playing.
We will admit that.
We're really hoping that the issue is fixed.
Mm-hmm. And it ain't no smoke.
Because we were racking our brains last week, really trying to figure it out, stressed out, worried, concerned.
Yes.
All that.
So, but we're going to have to try to give you a little slight pass because all of that shit was going on. But this week, there'll be no passes. Okay? There will be no passes. None. Because we need you all to make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the show. If it brings value to you, if you've learned anything, if you enjoy listening on your commute to work, just take a few moments and do us a solid because this is our energy exchange. So we come here every week. We try to give you information and tools for your toolkit, and we just need you to give us the same energy back by sending us some sweet words. So last week we were at 877 reviews, and this week we're only at 883 girls.
Six mamitas
showed up to work. The fuck going on? We have a goal of 1,000.
Now how can we keep this running with six of y'all?
Yeah.
Tell us how. You know we need more people.
Yeah.
Y'all know we have a goal.
So the goal is
leaning in and leaning on.
The Lilo.
The sisters.
Yeah.
Which are y'all.
So we need 117 more ratings and reviews before the end of the year to make our 1,000 rating and review goal. That equates to 15 reviews a week.
And we have more mommies who are doing the double up, triple up. I've been noticing Tay Raquel.
Yeah, I was going to say.
She's been
I was going to give her a shout out.
She's been, she's not competing, but she's rolling with homegirl Brenda.
Yes, her and
There's
Brenda
no
are.
There's no competition.
No. Her and Brenda are one
and
the same.
Arms.
Yeah, Tay Raquel.
We see you. Don't think we don't see you because we see you.
Yeah, y'all who leave multiple ratings and reviews, put your name in the subject or something. Homegirl Keisha, homegirl Renee, homegirl Tiffany, so that we know that I've been here and I'm coming back for more.
Back to back.
Just make sure you do that. So to show our appreciation, Brittany's going to read a rating and review or a review from this week.
Yes, I am. So
that's good.
Let's set it off in this motherfucker.
Set it off.
Okay, let me find it. Sorry.
Okay.
She's moving slow.
Take your time.
Okay. This one comes from P. Franco. She says, homegirl vibes all day.
Mm.
Y'all, my best friend put me on this podcast. Months of girl, you need to listen. Or she talk about an episode she had enjoyed. And I'm like, girl, I'll listen. I wasn't into podcasts for hot men. So let me tell you, when I finally put you girls on, I couldn't stop. You have blessed me with your insight, support, and motivation about being the best woman I can be in this phase of my life, but also wanting to continue to be the best woman, period. I recently got out of a long-lasting depression and cycle of just surviving life and not really knowing who I am and what my purpose is. I can't thank you enough for allowing me to be aware and find bits of myself episode by episode, not only for myself, but for my daughter. Mm. Forever grateful, mommies. Keep touching the world around you and empowering your homegirls. Thank you, PP.
That was so
P.
sweet.
P. Franco.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
That was beautiful.
And so, we're thankful that you've been touched.
Yeah, and that you're a part of our community.
In that way.
That we are a part of you and you are a part of us. So another way to support this podcast is by joining us over on Patreon. Patreon is a monetary journey that we are on right now. We have so many of you who are signing up every day, editing your pledges, and we are just grateful. So if you don't know what Patreon is, it's a platform that creatives are using to garner support from their community in efforts to continue to give you more content, exclusive content of shit that you already love. It's the way that we are going to go on tour. It's the way that we pay for production costs. It's the way that we do basically everything for this show because it's not free to run. So we are so grateful and we appreciate it. And to show our appreciation, we want to shout out our patrons. So our new patrons, Andy. What's up, girl?
What it do, Andy?
Deidre.
Dee Dee.
Hey, Dee Dee. Olivia has edited her pledge. She is now a soul sister. I think she's a, whatever you are, thanks for
Thank
editing.
You, probably, because really the goodies Or at the soul sister level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also had Janae who edited her pledge. Hey, girl, welcome.
Hey.
Dawn. I remember talking about her name. Dawn. We also have Kelsey. It might be Sorrell.
Sorrell. Hey, girl. Hey, Sorrell.
It looks like Ariel, though. So maybe Sariel. Sariel.
That's pretty.
Okay. And Jonette.
Hey, Jonette.
Yeah. Welcome to the tribe, y'all.
Welcome, y'all, to our Patreon tribe. We got some real exciting things clicking up over there.
Yeah. Two things will be up this week.
Two things.
We'll have a playlist that's available. The November playlist will
be
up.
We just uploaded our audio and visual affirmations for November, helping to equip us for the Mercury fucking retrograde that's happening right now.
And we have a special little funny video.
We have a video coming up.
Yeah. Mm. So that'll be up.
Should we ask the homegirls questions pertaining to the video?
Sure.
Okay, so we'll give you guys an opportunity to ask us some questions that we'll answer in the video. But if you want to see your questions answered, then you got to be a patron.
Yeah.
So, that I mean, you know.
And so pay attention to our Instagram because we'll ask questions.
Yeah, over there.
Send us some stuff over there. Also, sidebar, we're going to be going live possibly.
Wednesday.
Bringing that back possibly on
Maybe
Wednesday.
Maybe Wednesday, but definitely soon. We are going to be implementing our weekly lives again. So
yeah,
we want to see y'all, or we're not going to be able to see y'all, but y'all will be able to see us.
Yeah, so join us over there.
Okay. Now.
All right. Ooh, that was a lot.
My God. What are we really here for?
Last week. Okay, so last week was a good episode.
We talked about struggle love.
Yeah, so the title of that
Home
was
girls
You Deserve
were feeling it, listening better to it two and three times.
Avoiding struggle love. So the affirmation was, I am deserving of a relationship that honors the person I am right now. I am capable of differentiating between a healthy love and a struggle romance. So in last week's episode, we discussed the concept of struggle love. Struggle love is basically the idea that a person has to endure pain, struggle, and turmoil for the love to be real, worthy, and deserving. So we chatted about the way the struggle love narrative has been packaged and sold to women of color to be acceptable and normalized. And we offered a few questions you can ask yourself in basically efforts to identify if you're dealing with a struggle love situation.
Yeah.
And the girls were feeling it.
Yeah. So, again, if you had issues listening to it when it first dropped, go back, try to listen to it again. It's also now up on Spotify. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this week.
Wow. After all of that, here we are this week. We are going to be talking about
self-work. Yeah.
Doing the work.
This is a principle that needs to be implemented. So,
and self-awareness.
Definitely self-awareness.
So we're talking about non-reactivity or non-reactive behavior.
Yeah. So we are very reactive in general, a reactive society.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how we're wired.
Yeah.
We react.
We are.
And reactive people are often... You can tell that you're reactive if you're often affected by your environment. So, for instance, we had a great day. We had a great Sunday. Like, basically, we were saying all the good things that happened. It wasn't just like we had a great day because we were alive and we were breathing.
Yeah.
Like, we had a good day because Sunday service pulled up at the church. We had a great meal. The weather was nice. So, that is an indicator that we're reactive.
Yeah, because otherwise it would have just been a good day just because, you know, every day would be a good day.
Yeah, so like if the weather is good, we feel good.
Yeah.
If it isn't, I'm not feeling good.
Yeah, I'm feeling
shitty.
Somebody
call me and drag me, there goes my day.
Yeah.
I'm dragged. When you're proactive, it's the complete opposite. It's okay, I feel good because I just do. I am.
Yeah, because I want to feel good.
Yes.
Because I'm making it happen by myself.
Instead of just reacting to happening.
The external. So basically non-reactivity or non-reactive behavior is not being controlled by your surroundings and not being too quick to judge any given circumstance. So you're a little slow to react, much slower to react. I know that I'm a reactive ass bitch. She's reactive. What about you?
I'm reactive.
Okay.
Because if something, like even a, it depends, honestly. I was going to say, even a small alteration in my environment will affect my mood, but that's not always the case. It's in certain areas where my mood will be affected.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people are more reactive when it comes to like traffic.
Mm.
I don't really get that moved by traffic, but there's other things that will drag me, like people.
Yeah.
And it's not like outside people, but like people that I'm close to or people that I have like a relationship with. If they do something to alter my mood, like piss me off, or maybe even if they're sad and it rubs off on me, I'm reactive in that sense versus like outside people. I don't really get too affected by outside people, but that still doesn't make me non-reactive because people still,
you're still affected.
Yeah. I still can be.
Speaking of traffic, that definitely.
Shaken and stirred.
Traffic fucks me up, which is why I try to stay out of it. Because I'm like, the fucking traffic. I get sad. I'm like, this is sick. I don't want to be here. I don't like this. I think I'm definitely a reactive kind of gal. Like, work could piss me off. And I'm like, this is why I don't need to be at this job.
Yeah.
You know, we start turning it into something else.
It starts turning into a thing. And then the way that reacting really gets you is when you don't let it just be something that happens and let it pass.
Oh, yeah. You're not just a witness to it. You become the subject.
It turns into your whole day. Like, I had a bad day now.
Yeah.
Like, you done call me with some bullshit, and now my whole day fucked up. Instead of turning it around or not even letting that shake you so much and choosing how you want your day to go.
Yeah.
Well, you did choose when you said, I'm having a bad day.
And then we end up, go ahead.
Choosing an alternative.
Yeah, and then we end up regretting. We react, and then we regret.
Oh, my God.
We regret the shit that we did. You know, like, somebody sends you a message, you immediately respond.
Yeah.
Like, some niggas pissing you off, you immediately go in, and you send in a whole long text.
You get pissed off, you immediately go in, block them on Instagram, unfollow them.
Yeah.
Before even processing it, like.
Or your mom, your siblings might say something, you pop off on them, somebody says something at work, you come at them like, you know what, hold on, Chelsea. You're not going to. Then you turn into a whole nother person.
Or back to the traffic. People that have extreme road rage. You so mad about what's happening on the road, you decide to shoot somebody and kill them because you're so reactive to where you didn't take the time to just calm down, process, like, is it even this serious? Because it wasn't. Especially not to take a life.
It's not.
It's just crazy how reactive we are.
Yes.
Even on social media. We spend a lot of time on social media, and because social media overstimulates us a lot of the time, we're reacting to things people are posting. We're reacting to stories we're watching.
Yeah.
Just having so many opinions and feelings.
This is true.
About shit that really don't have anything to do with us, but because that's just in our nature.
Yeah, because we're taking it in.
We're reacting.
Yeah.
Like, why am I reacting to these motherfuckers I don't know, that don't know me? Or even if I do know them, things that don't even really matter, but because I'm so engaged in this act of social media consumption, I'm reacting.
Yeah. And I think that is good to...
Especially to celebrity tea.
Yeah. And because I'm like, fuck YG.
We just reacted to that.
Fuck him. Fuck him.
We're works in progress.
That. Yeah, we are. I mean, we're not exempt. But even, I think it's just good to point out that being less reactive doesn't make you like stoic or emotionally unavailable, because that's not really the goal. It's to be more centered, more emotionally stable, so that shit doesn't affect you so like much where you losing your shit over nothing.
Yeah, it's like emotional intelligence, heightened sense of emotional intelligence.
Yes.
Because we all know I guess how to like, if you're emotionally intelligent, you know how to process emotions and I guess deal with emotions, but heightening that to non-reactivity would be.
You understand your emotions?
I feel like it would be probably getting a grasp on it quicker.
I think it's actually putting application to your emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Because your emotional intelligence says, I'm aware of how I feel. Your non-reactivity says, I'm aware of how I feel in this moment, and I can choose to basically communicate my emotions in said way. You know, it's like praxis, like some shit in action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A good example that was given about non-reactivity, to like give a visual, is like
put some context to it.
Yeah, is like the example of a fly. So a lot of us, if a fly, even the fruit fly, anything, you're sitting, you're reading a book, and a fly comes buzzing around you, we're quick to like swat it away, like get the fuck away from me, fly over by me, get the fuck away from me.
Right.
That's reactive. And so there's a spectrum, like four stages of non-reactivity. So the first stage is like obviously noticing the fly, being distracted from your reading and swatting it away, trying to get the fly away. The second stage is noticing the fly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe acknowledging it, like brushing it off, but then going back to your reading.
Okay.
So you're not just standing there the whole time until the fly goes away, swatting it. It's like, okay, get away, but I can go back to what I was doing.
Yeah.
The third stage is seeing the fly, like noticing the fly is there, but not doing anything, not swatting it, and continuing your
reading. The fourth one is becoming one with the fly.
The fourth one is, what fly?
Oh, hell.
Like, I'm just focused on my reading. The fly's here, I'm here, and I'm reading. I'm like, oh, that's a true Buddhist right there.
Yeah, I would be. I'm probably
that's
like,
a true Buddhist. I know I'm number one.
I'm number one.
I'm like, what? Move, fly, shoot, fly, don't bother me.
Yeah. But
back away.
Yeah, back away and get the fuck away. Ugh, flies are so annoying.
They are, especially the fruit ones.
But our non-reactivity or our level of reactivity stems from all of our experiences, right? It's like this culmination of childhood experiences, maybe childhood trauma, things that you've experienced and brought along the way. It could be all this shit has molded the way that you're going to respond to life. So personally, my mom is hella reactive. She is reactive. I have a story for you all.
My mom is too. She's, and I feel like that's why I'm not as reactive, because I see her react and I'm like, sis.
No, now, I feel like that's
it's not necessary to be that reactive.
I'm probably as reactive because of my mom. Okay, I'd be like, get in the bitch. Because that's how my mom be.
What's your story?
I remember one time, well, there's a couple times. I'll tell you guys one. One time somebody parked their car so close to my mom's car. We had went into the store and came back out and we could barely get in the car. Mm-hmm. They had a pickup truck. My mom had a cup of coffee. She was so pissed. She threw the coffee all over their car and into their hatchback. And she was like, I really want to fuck this car. My mom is super crazy.
Oh, shit.
And I was just like, yeah. Like, you know.
You were gassing it up.
Not gassing it up, but I was witnessing it. So then that shows me that this is okay behavior.
Yeah.
To respond like this. You know what I mean? There's multiple like situations. My mom, ooh, she probably ain't gonna want me to tell y'all this. But remember I told you she fought that lady in her apartment building? When that lady was talking that shit, yeah. Little younger girl.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, I will beat your ass. And the girl walked up and my mom decked her. And yeah. She thought about it. She was so regretful later. She was like, you know, I really shouldn't do that.
And that's what happens. We react and then we regret, because it's like you don't go through the thought process.
No.
Of, should I do this?
No.
What are the consequences of my actions? Like the especially potential consequences.
And don't drag my mom saying she ghetto, because that's old. That's old news. But you know what else it is? A lot of times we be trying to defend ourselves. We feel like this is my respect on the line. It's our ego.
Yeah, that's because we're hardwired to be in survival mode. That's another reason why we're so reactive, because if you know anything about survival mode, like
the fight or flight.
Yes, the fight or flight. We gravitate to the things we like. And then when there's a threat, it's like, oh,
response.
No. That's why we can't help but to have these emotional responses when we're triggered.
Yeah. Triggered.
Because it's like, nigga, this is innate.
Yeah.
This is innate, but that doesn't mean that you can't do the work, the inner work to solve these problems or like, you know, be less reactive, because that's what we need to do.
And my mom is growing too, because she's the one who told me about the witness and subject thing, about being the witness and being a subject.
Yeah.
Growth.
Well, explain what that is, because everybody doesn't know what that is.
So essentially, when you're involved in a situation, you don't have to react. You can merely witness it happening and don't have to make it about you. You don't have to make yourself the subject, which is a way that you can see it or acknowledge that it's happening. Even if it is happening to you, I can acknowledge it. I'm just a witness to my experience and move on, versus like, say somebody cut me off, right? Making myself the subject would say, you cut me off, bitch, I'm on my way to work and now I'm going to be late because da 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 da. Versus being the witness says, okay, you cut me off. Perhaps you have somewhere where you really want to be.
Yeah.
Go ahead and go. It's not that deep.
Right.
You know, it's just switching the perspective. That's my, that.
My mom, I remember when my mom has, she don't need to be on the roads because she's very impatient on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's just impatient in general to the point where I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere with you where there's going to be a wait or like people because I'm patient. I can wait and not say anything and just be, you know, there waiting. Yeah. She'll make it so uncomfortable to where I'm like, now I'm anxious and nervous because you all uptight and reacting. So I remember one time she said that she had she was on the road and I don't know if somebody cut her off or somebody was honking or something. And she was like, pull over, bitch. Pull.
There it is. That's how it happens.
When she say bitch, she was like, pull over, bitch. So my mom pulled over. She pulled over and was out of her car like, yeah, get the fuck over here. Basically, like, ready to beat whoever's ass over whatever happened in traffic. And I'm like, you could have been killed.
Yeah, period.
You could have. I know you're ready and down, you know, but my God, we can't be provoking those type of situations because people are crazy out here.
They are.
And they will take you out. One swipe. You're out. You're out.
Yeah. And you're out. It'll be just like that.
But we can't always depend on other people to have it under control. You have to be in control of your emotions mm-hmm. and your responses because we can't control other people. But if we are reacting.
Yeah. And that's the difficult challenge, right? Every day we wake up, we have to decide, how am I going to basically coexist with the world around me? Because you don't just float through life by yourself. There are other people having experiences that you got to run up alongside of, people at work who also having bad days. So the first thing you got to do when you wake up and open up your eyes and you thank God that you wouldn't be given another breath. You know how you be like, thank for my sound mind,
yeah,
my body working. You got to be like, how am I going to attack my day? It's really a conscious effort.
This is a practice.
Yeah.
This is something that you have to constantly practice and be intentional and mindful about because it doesn't come to us innately.
You're intentional.
And one thing we can't avoid is interacting with other people.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most difficult challenges is learning how to not react to other people.
Mm-hmm.
This is a practice with my coworkers.
You look up and then you know why? Other people's shit will be affecting your mood. You be all caught up in their shit.
Yeah.
What's going on with your coworkers?
I'm saying, like, that's what I felt like something that I have had to do and having to do. I've gotten better, but there's still area of opportunity and room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Not reacting to them.
Yeah.
You know, we're different.
Yeah.
Y'all got y'all shit going on. And it really doesn't have anything to do with me. Y'all are just y'all. So I don't have to internalize it or let it get me all of my panties all in a bunch.
Yeah. The dookie booty.
The dookie booty.
You know, panties all in.
Yeah.
Yeah. The stanky booty.
I do have to plan. I have had to plan in advance. Like, you know what?
When they start today, I'm not responding.
I'm not. I'm just an employee here.
Because you can't let your external circumstances affect that inner peace.
I can't. My peace is valuable.
Come on.
And I've also had to implement that by setting boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, talk about it.
I've had to implement that by setting boundaries because I will allow people to have access to me. And when you allow unlimited access, people are just self-centered, selfish, and worried about their damn self. All mm-hmm. that is the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they will come into your life, fuck up your day, with some shit.
And get on out of here.
And then go
skip out. Bye.
And then go on about their day as if nothing happened while I'm over here in my corner.
Yeah, in shambles.
Shaking and stirred.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? Either I need to really master this non-reactivity where I can handle receiving a phone call, a text message, a pop-up, an encounter or interaction and not be affected, or I have to implement some boundaries and block,
mm-hmm.
eliminate.
The mental health.
Something.
Yeah, putting some boundaries.
Because, I mean, it's a process. So if you feel like, you know what, the non-reactivity shit is just too high up for me right now.
Then you got
to
start small.
I'm not
small.
There yet. Then you have to start small. And you can start small by implementing some boundaries.
Okay.
To limit access to you because you don't deserve.
That's the pre-tip. We're going to give y'all some tips, but that was a pre-tip.
You don't deserve to be dragged, And you have to make a choice.
Yeah. Make a choice how you're going to respond.
How? How am I going to respond?
And you know what? Nobody deserves to come uproot your peace.
But they do.
Like, I know, but think about that. I'm about to get mad. Don't nobody got the right to just come in and shake your shit up. That's really why we have to make our own decisions as to, like, what am I going to allow?
Yeah.
Because I got to live with me today.
Right, because we can't control other people and circumstances, but we do have the power to control ourselves.
Mind blown.
And so that's what we need to keep at the forefront. I'm controlling me.
And you got to live with you today.
Yeah.
The whole day. The person who fucking up your day ain't going to live with you. They ain't going to go through what you going to talk to. Mm-mm-mm. I'm done there.
Not. So let's give some tips and suggestions so that you can start to implement this practice of being non-reactive.
Mm-hmm. Or at least trying.
Or at least trying to, because it definitely is a practice. It takes time. Hey, she's still trying.
Yeah. I'm still trying.
You know what I just thought about? One little story.
What?
Two Halloweens ago, we were at a friend's annual Halloween party.
Oh, baby. That was great self-control.
Great self-control. And I think that was a little bit of practice of non-reactivity.
That was.
A woman was trying us. She was clearly under the influence of alcohol, drugs, shit. I don't know. The bitch was out of her mind.
Yeah.
And she decided to keep antagonizing Germany and I for no other reason than, I don't know.
She had no reason.
She had no reason. She kept coming up to us, y'all, saying, is there a problem? And oh, you know, those God. Are fighting words.
And the only reason why we didn't take it there is because this
was
our... We
have respect for the person who went through the party.
Period.
That's the only reason, because inside of me was a fire burning that wanted to just clock her in her mouth when she kept saying, is there a problem?
Like, girl, you're going to get thrown in
that pool. So the girl, she kept coming up to us, y'all. She came to us about like
three times.
And we had tried to defuse the situation by asking people who were with her, like, hey... Get your
motherfucking friend.
Get your mans and keep her out of our face, because we don't want no problems. And clearly she's inebriated and not in her right mind. So also don't want to beat down a drunk hoe. But I mean,
it will happen. It'll go.
At what point do I have to keep being the bigger person when I'm getting disrespected?
Back to the ego though, right?
Yeah, it was the ego. It was definitely ego, feeling like the disrespect and all that other shit. But she kept saying, is there a problem? And in my mind, I'm thinking, there wasn't one.
But now you started one.
But there's been one created.
Yeah.
But thankfully, you know, looking back in hindsight, thankfully we didn't react and fuck her up.
Because I don't want to be seen like that.
That would have never been lived down. I don't think they would have been like, remember when y'all beat that girl down at the party and she was in the pool? And, you know, it would have been like, just stop talking about it.
Yeah. I'm glad we didn't take it there.
Yeah.
Especially because I don't want to be tearing nobody's house up.
Don't.
And then we would have tore the club up that night.
Tear it up.
Yeah. It would have been that vibe. So I'm glad it didn't
and
go there.
And I think that has to do with us being in our right mind as well.
Yeah, we were sober.
Sober.
We were good. I'm like, oh, she's
sober
tripping.
Sallys.
Yeah. Okay, so tips.
Tips. Okay.
Tips and tricks.
Tip number one.
Tip one, go
so
for it.
So if you find yourself feeling angry or upset with someone, before you react or say or do something that you might regret, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a deep breath and count slowly to 10. So by the time you reach 10, you should have figured out a better way to communicate the issue.
Yeah.
So that you can reduce an escalation, a fuck up.
Yeah, a beat down.
A slashing of tires, busting windows out of cars.
Jasmine Sullivan-y. That's the Jasmine.
Have you ever done that? Or you don't want to admit? You don't want to admit? Okay, we'll keep that off air.
Yeah.
We don't want to admit.
She's never done that.
Okay, I have done a little bit of
destruction. Oh my God, here she
goes. Not
of
the car, but of public property. You know, a little shake, break some shit off, throw some shit down.
Yeah, I've done that. I've terrorized some shit.
Yeah.
But I've never done the slashing.
Okay, but so if you're still upset after you've counted to 10, you got to revisit the situation after you calm down. You got to be like, you know what? I got to back away. I got to really back away.
Yeah.
I know that this reaction will not serve my higher self, and I got to remove myself. And some people be like, you know what? I can't talk to you right now. Honor that. Because some people be like, we going to talk.
They be pushing the envelope.
Yeah, they be like, no, we going to talk right now. I know I've been like, why can't we talk right now?
Me too. I'm like, no, but we need to. It's imperative that we talk
right now.
And it's like, no, girl, just honor that I'm not in the position to talk. Because it might go
left. We have to have respect for other people. And now with my heightened awareness and my own work that I've been doing, if somebody said, you know what, I really can't talk right now, then I would be like, okay.
No words. So tip two, basically to move from reactive to proactive, again, like we initially said when we opened this up, it starts with the self-awareness. So you have to recognize the problem and identify your personal triggers, because everybody's triggers are different. So once you create a plan for that self-management, then you could kind of move through your day a little better. So again, identify your triggers. Is it certain people or situations? You mentioned your job, right?
Yeah.
For me, a situation would be traffic. I don't do well in traffic. So are you tired? Are you stressed? Do you feel insecure maybe around a certain group of people or when you're doing a certain thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, monitor or take inventory of what do you feel like
your
on the inside?
Your feelings.
On the inside.
Yeah.
You know, is your heart beating really fast? Is there tension? Do you have fear? Am I mad, angry? Like, if you're feeling this kind of way, then we have to tap in. And the best way to do that is to shift your response. So think about when you're engaging with somebody, what is my preferred response? How would I like to respond to this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then focus on that. And you can count in your head and use that same tip from number one before you respond. Like, you know what? This is a person that I care about. I don't want to drag their ass, because sometimes we'll just let it rip.
Yeah, and some things cannot be taken back.
They cannot be taken back.
Once they're said, once you've said what you said.
Once you've released.
Once you've said what you said, I can't. Said some things.
But if your preferred response is, I want to respond to my mom, my parent, my loved one in love. I want to come from a good place. Then that'll help. You know, imagine refocusing like that. Or being in a situation where you went around some fucked up people and you're like, you know what? I want to emit positivity and love, kindness, gratitude, graciousness.
Yeah.
If you came from that place before interacting with anybody, your whole demeanor would be different when you engaged.
Yeah.
It would be like, I'm pissed off right now, but that's not who I want you to see.
You're not going to get the piss. And it doesn't mean you're going to be a doormat.
No.
But it's just that you can reframe the response.
The perspective.
And a good thing.
And higher self is vibrating.
A good tip that I heard, especially when you're communicating with people via text message, is if you feel like you about to just go the fuck in on somebody via text it, type it up in your notes, you know, sleep on it. Maybe send it to a friend, you know, if you have a trusted confidant. You know, just let it marinate. Wait till the next day. You know, we be so quick, like, I gotta respond right now.
Yeah.
And we also feel the pressure from other people, like, I have to be responsive or, you know, and I put that pressure on people too. Like, are you alive?
Yeah.
Are you kicking? Like, that's I need me. A response. Hello, you must be dead.
Me.
But just sleep on it. Wake up the next day, you know, and then see, do I still want to send this?
Do I want
to
send all of this?
Is this still how I'm feeling? Right. Do I need to say all of this, or could it just be left unsaid?
Yeah. And sometimes I've been in experiences where I'm like, you know what? I'm taking the bigger bitch approach. I'm going to be the bigger bitch here. And I've said less when I wanted to say more. And it's like, wow, look at me. You know, you turn around and you look back on it and you're like, yeah, see, that was me.
Yeah, that was she.
That was she in that great position right there.
Period.
Yeah.
Look at you with your big girl panties on. Okay, here's our last tip.
Mm-hmm.
Back to a few episodes back. Don't take things so personally.
Uh-huh. Cue the Maya. I mean the Monica.
Don't take it personal.
I just...
Being highly reactive often comes from an elevated personal investment.
Mm-hmm.
You just think the world revolves around you. Everything is because of you. And no.
Yeah.
That's not it. We can't keep taking these things so personally. You breathe. That's one of our main exercises here. First, you have to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Take ownership. Reclaim your power. Reclaim your brain. I'm driving this boat.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm driving this boat. Even if I feel like I'm being personally attacked, I'm going to reclaim my time.
Mm-hmm.
Reclaim my feelings. Reclaim my power. Shift my perspective.
Yes.
Just like you said, becoming the subject, becoming a witness and not the subject.
Yes.
Everything is not about me. Yes, I did get cut off. yes, you are being a little snappy, a little nasty, mm-hmm. but most of the times it has zero to do with me and everything to do with whatever you're going through. So I don't even have to feed into this.
Yeah.
Shifting my perspective. Okay. Yeah. People are usually clear on what they want from another person. And when we're clear about what we want for the other person, it allows us to take things less personally and be more deliberate. We're being deliberate. We're being intentional. We're being mindful.
We're being aware.
We're being aware.
Yeah. And we're taking it slow. And take it easy.
Taking it slow is something that is doesn't get enough credit.
A true virtue.
It doesn't get enough credit.
A true virtue.
We take so many things fast. And I really like it nice and slow.
Come on. And take it easy.
I like it nice.
Oh, stop, Tina Turner.
And slow. Left a good job. Yeah.
In the city.
I like it nice and slow.
Good. I think we all do. So hopefully that helps you. Another good tool to use during Mercury retrograde.
Ooh, this is perfect for Mercury retrograde.
Shit's happening. It's going on.
And a lot of the things that are happening are temporary. So if we're reacting to the things that are happening in our lives during this trying period, you might end up worsening something that was going to pass.
You might end up making a permanent decision for a temporary situation.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to do that. So take this episode, put it in your toolkit, bring it out when you need it. Period. And that's on period. So now it's time to pick up a pen.
We're dropping a gem.
So our gem this week is one that we've shared in the past. A real staple
for us.
It's
a staple in our home. It's a staple in our skincare regimen.
It is. We talk about it all the time. You've probably seen it on our feed. And I personally talked about it on my story.
It's a tried and true.
Sure. We are talking
about. We've been using it for what, like 2 years now?
Yeah, just about.
Just about 2 years.
Yeah. So it's our lovely homegirl, a homegirl of a homegirl. It's a FUBU business too.
Yes.
It's Purple and Prosper.
Yes,
So this is the Unmasked Calm that we're talking about. So the Unmasked Calm is a calming and soothing mask for irritated, breakout prone skin. So it's infused with antibacterial and calming ingredients like organic honey, neem, cinnamon, and turmeric. The best part about this mask is that it's non-drying, so it adds hydration to the skin, and it also works as a gentle exfoliant with that little bit of cinnamon. Once you add a little bit of water, you just emulsify it and Great product. It's made without any sulfates, detergents, parabens, dyes, perfumes. All of these
organically
products,
sourced, small batch made.
Yes, artisan brand.
Yes,
it's by a woman of color.
Yes,
with
a sweet spirit. You know that there's some good energy and juju going into your product.
We love Tyann. That's the owner and the creator of Purple and Prosper. Again, we swear by it.
We swear by it. Every time we have a giveaway, we've given away so many of these Unmasked Calms.
We like to include it. It's one of those products that once you use it and once you get it, no matter how you get it, if it's gifted or bought, it's going to become a staple.
Yeah.
So we like to, give out what works for us. Hopefully it works for you. And also the really cool thing about Purple and Prosper is it's a very intentional brand. It's again, non-toxic, and everything, all the products are wrapped in an abundance of healing and nourishing energy. So there's a special little affirmation on all of the products, and the affirmation on the Unmasked Calm is calmness and peace surround me everywhere I go. What another great tie-in.
Intentional.
So,
check it out. The information will be down in our show notes for the website and also her Instagram.
Yeah, and if you live in LA, you can pull up at a lot of the Stockist.
Simply Wholesome is one of our favorite places to grab it from.
Yeah, so grab it. Let us know if you love it. Reach out to Ty. Let her know we sent you. She's a sweet girl.
She is. Girlfriend gag.
Feel free to email us if you have anything you want our advice, our tips, or
anything you're going through. We haven't gotten any girlfriend gags in a minute. But this is the segment. This is a segment of the show where we would just really dive in and dissect.
Yeah.
So if you have something you want us to chit chat about,
make sure you email it to contact@theblackgirlbravado.com and we'll talk about it here on the show.
Okay. So I think that wraps up this week's episode.
We'll see y'all next week. Don't forget to rate and review.
Rate, review, share this.
Follow us on Instagram.
And we'll chat with you all next week.
Love you.
Bye.
Say what you've been telling.